Hello, welcome to Alliance Insurance Group's Tips Under 10 podcast, where we help senior living operators navigate these treacherous waters around COVID-19, answering some of their most pressing questions all in under 10 minutes. I'm your host, Carl Swan. Today, we welcome to the program Angie Shumlinski. Angie's the Director of Risk Management at HealthCap. She's a nationally recognized leader in long-term care with experience as an owner, administrator, director of nursing. Angie served as an associate board member for NCAL. She's a member of the ACA NCAL Survey Regulatory Committee, the NCAL Quality Committee, and she's in her eighth year serving as senior examiner team leader for the ACA NCAL Quality Award Program. Hello, Angie. Welcome to the podcast this morning. How are you?
Hey, Carl. I'm great. How are you?
Great. Hey, thanks for joining us. Let's jump right into some questions from operators. We'll get through as many of these as we can in our 10 minutes. So the first question I'd like to run by you is the issue of PPE, right? Some would call it a PPE nightmare. So can you give us some feedback and some information on how we manage and typically how can we get more supplies if we need them?
Sure, Carl. That's a great question. Sadly, we hear that quite often, and we were probably not well prepared for COVID when it hit. I think that we had a lot of bad publicity coming from all over the world, and in fairness, we could have done a better job in hindsight, but we're here, and the supplies of products that we need to maintain a safe environment for our staff and our residents are sometimes pretty bleak. So everybody's working really hard to provide adequate protection. And even OSHA has worked with us on waiving the annual fit testing criteria for the N95 respirator masks. But that said, there are a few suppliers of products who are reputable and turnaround times are pretty good. We are seeing some scamming, if you will, and price gouging, which is really sad in this time. But there are resources there if you go to our website or call your risk manager. Also, FEMA is distributing a week's supply of PPE beginning this week to all nursing facilities, prioritizing it by the highest need. So if an area has a high breakout area, they will get their supplies first. So they're going to distribute a week's supply based on your burn calculator. So what you used last week, you'll probably get that same amount from FEMA next week. So the plan is to do another delivery in early June. We'll see what happens. It's really hard to predict. And there are also protocols on managing PPE shortages during a pandemic, both on the CDC website and our HealthCap Resource and Education Center. So these protocols and tools are free to everyone. Go and use them, take advantage of it, see what's new in there and how we can help you with your PPE shortage.
Great, and we'll cover HealthCap access to your website and access information here at the end of the podcast. So I also know there are a number of new reporting requirements. Is the CDC NHSN a requirement now, or can you touch on that for us?
Sure. This won't shock anyone, but our government agencies don't communicate really well sometimes. So the CDC NHSN network of their system of reporting is a step ahead of CMS. So the CDC came out and gave instruction and actually had webinars training people on how to register, how they're supposed to upload their data, and all those things, but the final rule hasn't come out. So until the Federal Register is published, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants, if you will. But bottom line is, it says May 8th, which is this Friday. And I can tell you it takes about 48 hours to register your facility. So if you need to, if you haven't done it, you need to go on the CDC website, register your facility, and then be up and operable by May 8th. Because it's not unusual for CMS to come down tomorrow and say you need to start uploading data Friday. And if you haven't registered, then you won't be able to upload your data. One thing to remember is that this is different than the reporting requirements for families, staff, and residents. That notification does not need to include the particulars of your center. So CDC wants, you know, how many supplies do you have, how many beds do you have, how many COVID cases, how many deaths, where the family notification does not require that. And what we're finding is some of the buildings are actually posting their number of deaths on their own website, or assuming that's the notification process. We really discourage that. That is not part of the reporting requirement. So families need to know new cases. There's a whole guideline on the CDC website, new symptoms, what your staffing looks like, those kinds of things. But what HealthCap really is discouraging is having family members use your website as a COVID site. We want to keep it simple. We want people to understand we have people who live in our centers. This isn't a COVID website. This is our facility website. And we're doing really good things here. So be sure you keep posting your good things, your stories, your, you know, your story time in the hallways, doorway bingos, all that kind of stuff, included with the requirement from CMS. So you don't need to post what you don't need to post. So be very careful and judicious with who's putting your information on your website.
Awesome. Thank you. There's a lot of things flying around about these infection control surveys. Are these really happening? And if so, what are the outcomes so far?
Unfortunately, they are happening. A few months ago, well, about 6 weeks ago, CMS stopped doing any regulatory surveys other than infection control focused surveys or immediate jeopardy follow-up surveys. They aren't doing the typical annual certification surveys right now, rightfully so. We're focused on containing a virus, and they're focused on not, you know, expanding it into other areas. So they come to our building, then they go to someone else's building. There you have it. I just wrote a blog on that this week as well that talks a lot about it. But the bottom line is, yes, these focus surveys are occurring around the country. Some states aren't having any issues with it, while others are struggling with IJ citations. Michigan has been really hard hit with IJ citations. Surveyors are arriving equipped with their own personal PPE. They're in the building a limited amount of time and are requesting remote access to the medical record system. I can tell you that you have to give remote access. It's a requirement. But most attorneys will tell you, do not give an open-ended access. So what some of the centers are giving is access between 8 and 5 for 2 to 3 consecutive days, and then they cut the access off. So you have to keep IT really involved to make sure that we keep them out of the system once that time is up. You also want to be sure you're only giving surveyor access so that they don't have access to your incident reports or your QA documents or anything like that that might be stored on that same platform. They are showing up at 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. I guess they know we're not at church, but 7 a.m. on Sunday, they came into a building and they gave them 3 immediate jeopardies. The surveyor was in the building less than an hour. And when she left, she requested remote access, and they were one of our first focused surveys. So it was, they didn't know how to manage it. We got them through it with our general counsel. So bottom line, if you're not sure, call your lawyer and be sure that they aren't acting outside of their scope. And if you have questions about the actual process itself, feel free to contact us and we'll walk you through it.
Awesome. Thank you. So in that same vein, there's a lot being shared about OSHA complaints. So what's your experience there? Who's complaining? And are they actually coming out to centers to do an investigation?
Yes. It's interesting. Unfortunately, many staff are whistleblowing as the stress of the pandemic hits. They're afraid. People are fearful. They don't know what they don't know. So staff come to work after watching the news last night, and they're terrified that they'll bring the virus home to their kids, their grandma. So the hotline at OSHA is overwhelmed with calls. They have investigations happening all over the country. However, very few are on site visits as of right now. But I do recommend that you be prepared to show you're documenting your PPE supplies, how they're being used, how you're educating your staff, being sure that you're screening people who come into the building, only allowing your essential workers in, and then keeping those logs available so that you can show, yep, Susie came on shift at 6:45 this morning. I gave her a mask, I gave her a gown, I gave her gloves, you know, an N95 respirator because I'm a COVID unit, and Susie signed right here. So a year from now, if OSHA says Susie got sick and died, you can show this is our policy. We documented that we got the equipment. Nobody went without equipment, those kinds of things. So bottom line is it's stressful. People are afraid. So you need really good documentation of your daily use and when they're given out and what your supplies look like, which is goes hand in hand with the CDC new requirements for documentation on their site. So that will also help you in the event you have an OSHA complaint. So.
Thank you. There are a number of initiatives operators are implementing around employees. So for instance, hazard pay, you know, for those staff who agree to come to work every day, et cetera. What are some of your best tips for operators in terms of facilitating and managing employees during this time?
You know, it is a really difficult time. Pretty much everybody from grocery stores to healthcare are providing some level of what we call hazard pay. The big thing is to do it wisely. It's hard right now. The economy is really tight, a huge unemployment rate. And most of our caregivers are the breadwinner in their homes. They need their jobs. So the incentive to increase their pay is too enticing sometimes. And staff may come to work when they maybe shouldn't. Maybe they have a little bit of a cold or some symptoms, but they don't want to miss that extra pay. And if you miss a day of work, you lose your bonus. I mean, there's all kinds of plans out there. So be careful with that. Make sure that you're screening your staff when they report to work, you observe for symptoms throughout the day, and they're educated on what to report should they become symptomatic. Also, if there's a bargaining unit, you need to be sure you're working hand in hand with them to avoid conflicts with the bargaining unit's contract with the employees. So I know it sounds silly that they would argue about giving them more pay, but they do. There are situations where it's been problematic. So just be sure you're talking to the bargaining units, have a good relationship with them, and be consistent with the staff. You know, you don't want to reward one and not another. Pretty simple. That's what ends up ending with a bargaining unit sometimes. So, yeah. So it can be done.
Great. Thank you. Well, we're about out of time. We've been sharing with our clients across the country access and information from your website. That's healthcapusa.com. It's one of the best, if not the best, COVID-19 resource site specifically for senior living operators. Number of policies and procedures. Additionally, information that Angie has touched on today. If folks did want to get a hold of you, Angie, what would be the best way to do that?
The best way to do that would be through our main office at 734-996-2700, or my email address, which is probably hard to remember, angie.shumlinski@healthcapusa.com.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you, Angie. Thanks for the work that you're engaged in, the meaningful work, and thanks for taking time out of that important work to join us today on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me, Carl, and have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Well, there you have it. I know we went a bit over our 10 minutes today, but hopefully you found that information and conversation valuable. Please remember, if you have a question, you can reach out directly or click on the link above. And thanks for joining us today on the Tips Under 10 podcast.